Shmuel Aleph, Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Yud Aleph. So, Shaul has thrown a spear at David for a third time and missed him when David ducked out of the way. And so now David has fled. Vayishlach Shaul malachim el beis David l'shamro. So Shaul sent messengers to David's house to watch him, to keep an eye on him. The CIA has been sent, the plumbers, all the president's men. V'lahamiso baboker, and to kill him in the morning. So if your father-in-law really feels this way about you, then you have to be real careful at family events. Batageid leDavid, Michal ishto lemor. And so Michal, David's wife, said to him, Im einecha mimaleit es nafshecha halayla, if you do not save your own life tonight, if you do not escape for your life, run for your life tonight, machar atah mumas, tomorrow you will be dead. So Michal is warning David that he's a dead man. Allegedly, according the man Loes interprets it, that the messengers were sent to lull David into a false sense of security. They were supposed to convince David that the king wanted to reconcile, that he felt bad about the spear for the third time. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Fool me, throw a spear at me three times. But they're also supposed to stand guard and prevent him from escaping. So it's possible that Shaul was going to send a separate set of messengers to kill him in the morning. Or people who would bring unsuspecting David back to the palace where Shaul would have him killed. So some of the Mefarshim say that Shaul's fear of David had reached such a fever pitch at this point that he wanted to be completely certain that David was dead and see the body for himself. So that last opinion, that the messengers would schlep him back in the morning to be killed in front of Shaul, goes following this kind of approach, that he didn't want David killed anywhere except right in front of him. And the Chazal say on this that Shaul was even worse than Izebel in this instance. So again, we started the parak by talking about how difficult it is to deal with somebody who is such a great person, but who exhibits such truly frightening and murderous behavior. And the Chazal say, at least Izebel warned Eliyahu HaNavi that she intended to kill him, and she gave him a chance to escape. This is in Melachim Aleph Perek Chaf. Here, Shaul was trying to do the opposite. He was trying to lull David's alertness so that it would be easier to kill him. So, Yudbeis, Michal puts her money where her mouth is. She doesn't just warn him, but she senses. Maybe she had sources in the palace. Maybe she just knew her father very well. But she senses that tonight is the night. So, Vatored Michal as David ba'arachalon. Michal lowered David down through the window herself, not asking for help from any servants, not asking for anybody to know about it. Completely herself, tying the bedsheets together to lower him down like an escaping prisoner. Vayelech, vayivrach, vayimolet. And so David went. He followed what she had told him to do. He ran away and he escaped. And the Medrash tells us that it was Shabbos, which teaches you that for pikuach nefesh, to save yourself from a rodef, from people who are pursuing you to kill you, it is permissible to even be mechal Shabbos. And so David ran for it, with his wife abetting him, with his brother-in-law, Yehonasan, warning him in advance. Shaul is the only one who wants him dead, but a very formidable enemy is the king of Yisrael when he wants you dead. And so David ran for it, and he went out through the window, through the Pesach Katan, the Radak says, rather than through the door where they would be watching. So he escaped down the fire escape in the back. Yud Gimel, Vatikach Michal es hatirufim vatosem el hamita. And Michal took trufim. Now, trufim are usually words for different forms of Avodah Zarah worship. So the idea that they would have anything like this in the house seems counterintuitive. David, of course, being David HaMelech, Michal being a very righteous woman, Klal Yisrael being in a relatively good place when it came to Avodah Zarah at this point, this seems to be a strange thing. So the commentaries all get very interested in this idea of teruphim. They are human-looking images made out of animal skins, and some people used to hang clothing on them, like seamstresses who have the dress forms, the dress dummies that they drape clothing on. Some people, unfortunately, the Ramban explains some people use them for Avodah Zarah. So the Radak says that some opinions say that these were Avodah Zarah, but surely there would have been no such thing in Beis David, says the Radak. So the Radak brings down other opinions that says the teruphim were copper instruments that were used for astrology, but that would seem unlikely as well. Some people say and bring down that David had taken spoils from the Plishtim and then had them nullified. When a non-Jew says this is not an Avodah Zarah anymore, then the object loses its forbidden nature and one is allowed to use it. It's Mutar Bahana. So he kept these objects in his home as a reminder, you know, as spoils of his great victories that Hashem had done. Some say that the teruphim were put there not just as a decoy, but so that Michal would be able to claim she had no idea and David had done it. Because if it's David's military spoils, what would Michal have to do with them? So it's not a bad idea. So she put them in the bed, the ace kevir ha'izim, and she put a goat skin at its head, sama mira'ash osav, batechas baboged, and she covered it with a garment. In the great tradition of old 80s movies, when the teenager sneaks out and leaves a big lump in the bed looking like somebody is there. So it's a statue in the shape of a human torso, at least. Most of the Mefarshim say it's just the torso and up and not the rest of the body. Made it seem like he was sleeping in. The goat skin, which still had hair attached, looked like it might be David's hair, covered the whole thing with a blanket so that you couldn't see what was under there. And so there is apparently David in bed being asleep when they're going to come and try to kill him. The Chazal tell us that three women saved important lives. Michal, who saves David HaMelech in this case. Sarach Bas Asher, who saved Yaakov by easing him into the news that Yosef was still alive so that at his advanced age of, 133, he wouldn't die of shock. And the wife of On Ben Peles, which is an incredible story, where On Ben Peles' wife saved him from being part of the Dasan and Aviram conspiring together with Korach. And she's referred to in Mishle that she combed her hair so that when the Frumachs from Dasan Va'aviram came to get On Ben Peles to be part of the rebellion, they didn't want to see a woman with an uncovered head, and so they left alone. So the Chazal tell us about this. Matzah Isha, Matzah Tov. Whoever finds a wife finds goodness for his life. And several Chazal referred that about Michal Bas Shaul, whose love for her husband was even greater than her love for her father. So she saved her husband's life from her father's wrath.